Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Good or better, which one would you take? Raise your hand if you would take good. Wow, a few. Good for you. Yeah. Who would want better? All right, that makes sense. All right, now, this is where it gets a little challenging, okay? If you knew that better meant it was going to hurt a little bit for like, you know, a half hour, but then it would be better than good, would you choose good or would you choose better? Raise your hand if you would still choose good or choose good, excuse me. How many would choose better even though you're going to have to suffer for like a half hour? Okay, interesting. How about this one? If, would you rather have better, which is better than good, or would you want best? But, here's the caveat. Best isn't going to happen for another 50 years. You're going to suffer. It's going to be hard. But man, after you suffer and after it's really hard, best is going to be way better than better. I mean, crazy better than better. Crazy. All right, raise your hand if you would take better. Raise your hand if you would wait 50 years of suffering and take best. Interesting. Question, did it get tougher? Like, the first one was pretty easy, right? And even, like, 30 minutes of pain, you're kind of like, hey, I can handle that. But 50 years of suffering, of hardship, of trials, I don't know. See, my son kind of freaked out the other day because I got a splinter. It hurt, right? So what did I do? I took out a fishing knife. It was clean. It's okay. It was clean. And I started digging at it. He was like, doesn't that hurt? This is going to hurt a lot less if I get this thing out. So, yeah, I'm going to go through some suffering, right, to get this thing out. Because I know in the long run, it's way better for me if I suffer a little bit now than if I suffer later. The bad news is I couldn't get it out. So today, it's starting to get infected a little bit. And there's a little bit of a bubble already on it. Oh, that's stupid. Nah, I'll get it out when I get home. All right? But that's not the point. The point is, we recognize in this life that sometimes suffering leads to something better. Is that fair? All right. So I want to talk about a passage that we see in Scripture, which is really, really challenging. I mean, super challenging, okay? This is one of those passages that you just kind of want to go through as quick as you can and get it over with sometimes. But I'm going to go nice and slow through Matthew 16. All right, it says in verse 21, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Now, I find it interesting that Peter, at this point, has been hanging out with Jesus for like 3 years, right? So he's been around Jesus. He's heard some things, but I think he knows about 90%. All right, maybe 75, somewhere in there. He knows 75 to 90% of what's going on. And so he hears Jesus talking about suffering. I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to go suffer. In fact, I'm going to go suffer, and then I'm going to get killed. And Peter's like, oh, no, this isn't going to happen. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And so Peter actually took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. And I feel like sometimes we have that 75 to 90% knowledge when it comes to our faith. And so we're asked to do some hard things. We're asked to say no to our friends or look foolish in front of some people. And we're like, no, Lord, never. I'm never going to let that happen for you. Jesus, you're always going to look amazing to everybody all the time. I'm never going to look foolish. Because we're missing this idea of suffering in the Christian faith. Jesus turned and said to Peter, can you imagine Jesus saying this to us? Get behind me, Satan. Whew. This is Jesus, the Son of God. The Son of Man, yelling at Peter, get behind me, Satan. Okay, fun story. I was just reading this one time, and then I went to a Bible study, and there was a girl who really wasn't interested in the Bible study, and the rest of the group was like super into Bible study, so we're going through 1 John, and she's off to the side going, hee-hee-hee-hee, like that the whole time, and I'm just sitting there teaching, and without even thinking, I said, get behind me, Satan! And she's like, ah! And she was quiet, and then she never came back. So I don't recommend using that line, all right, with anybody else. We'll let Jesus say that. But whew, that's a doozy. That's a doozy. All right, you are a stumbling block to me. You are getting in the way, he's saying, of what I need to accomplish. In other words, I need to accomplish the suffering, I need to accomplish being killed. And that's because Peter didn't realize that last part of what Jesus had said, to be raised to life. Jesus can't be raised to life unless he has first died. Makes sense, right? You can't come back from the dead if you weren't dead. Peter still didn't quite grasp it. Jesus says, you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And what are our concerns as human beings? I mean, we want to be loved. That's good. But I think there's comfort, right? Satisfaction in life. We want to experience everything that's out there. You know? Peter, he wanted Jesus to be triumphant and just walk into Jerusalem and be like, bam, this is my place now, right? That's what Peter wanted. Guns a-blazing. That's what Peter thought was going to happen. That's not what God was concerned about. Verse 24, this is where it gets super hard for us. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Verse 25, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their very soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then, emphasis on the then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Now, I want to backtrack a second because I like to look at key words in passages. And this one, I think, is disciple. Like, we have to understand what Jesus is talking about. If you want to be my disciple, all right? So I think I threw disciple up there. Yes. Yeah, I did. All right? A disciple, this is all a disciple is. It's a commitment to become like your teacher. That's a disciple. It's not super complicated. Right? It's really easy. Like in the United States, we don't teach a bunch of disciples because you don't need to become like your teacher. But back in the day, that's exactly what would happen. Someone who's in authority or someone who has some skill or trade would take on disciples, and those people would become the person they're following. And so when Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to become like me, you're going to have to learn to do what I do. You have to go through what I have to go through. And what did he just say was going to happen to himself? He's going to deny himself. He's going to go into Jerusalem and be ridiculed and suffer. And then what's he going to do? He's going to carry his cross down the street in public humiliation, everybody seeing him carrying that cross. And he's going to go up on that cross and he's going to die. Peter, do you want to follow me? Because this is where I'm going. In fact, Jesus wants him to follow him. Not that he wants him to physically die, but he needs him to understand the road of a disciple is not easy. If it wasn't easy for perfect King Jesus, it's not going to be easy for you either. You're going to have to go through some stuff. In fact, I went and I made a list. And this is not exhaustive. In other words, there's so much more suffering that Jesus did. Here's the first one, and I got this from Philippians 2. It says, he left heaven to come here. Guys, that's suffering. I'm just going to say that, okay? Jesus, eternally present in heaven, left heaven to come here. Who in their right mind would leave heaven to come to earth? Seriously, have you ever thought of that? Like, heaven's like the greatest place ever. Ever. Perfect. Streets of gold. Life. Life abundantly. No death. No crying. It's a pretty sweet place. We have mansions, it says. I mean, this is good stuff. Why would Jesus leave that and come here? How about the next one? Satan constantly looked for opportunities to tempt Jesus. We read through our Bibles and we see that Jesus was tempted 3 times after he was baptized. But then it says Satan followed him around waiting for an opportune time. In other words, Jesus had times where he was more likely to sin. He wasn't going to sin. Satan followed him around, constantly tempting Jesus, waiting for a weak moment that he might attack and try to get Jesus to do something he's not supposed to do. Whew. That's not easy. Number 3, early in his ministry, his hometown turned on him. One of the first things we hear is Jesus going back to the city of Nazareth where he grew up, and he preaches a sermon, and he picks a scroll from Isaiah, and he reads it, and he basically declares that he's God, and he leaves off judgment. The Jews expected a Messiah to come and judge every other nation except for Israel. And so Jesus said the exact opposite of what they expected, and they tried to run him over a cliff. And then Jesus did one of the coolest things ever. He just said, "Nah, this isn't going to happen today." And he just walks right through them. But he was rejected by his hometown. Can you imagine going back to school and saying, "Hey, I went to miracle camp and learned some really cool things about King Jesus." And everybody in the school is like, "Let's throw him off a cliff." How horrible would that be? Jesus went through that. Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, questioned whether Jesus was truly the Messiah. That had to have been hard. How about Judas betrayed him? You see, Jesus walked with Judas for 3 years. Jesus talked with Judas all the time. They were friends. Dare I say brothers, not in the literal sense. And yet Judas betrayed him to death for 30 coins, which wasn't a lot. The sixth one, he knew his death beforehand. Can you imagine knowing how you're going to die ahead of time? Especially with something so gruesome like a crucifixion. In fact, he knew it and he sweated blood as he sat and thought about it and prayed about it and prepared his heart to go through it. That's intense suffering. He was flogged, beaten, and mocked by the people that he loved and was here to save. Flogging, by the way, was like the 12-cord thing. I don't know if you've heard about that thing, but it's got like leather on the end, and each little piece of leather had like a metal stone that was jagged, so it would go over their back and grab their flesh and tear it. Yeah, he got a lot of those. 39, because they thought 40 was inhumane. I can't do it 40 times. That'd be too much. 39. 39 times. Remember, he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer. His disciples denied him and left him alone at the cross. Man, that had to have been hard. His very disciples, the people he was closest to, when he went up onto the cross, they're like, "Peter, you were with them." And Peter goes, "No." And he bolted. So Jesus is now alone with only his mother. And I think Mary Magdalene was there watching too. That's it. Everybody else said, "I'm done. I don't want to be seen with them." Whew, that's suffering. He had spikes driven through his flesh. His feet, his ankles, probably not his feet, but probably his ankles, the wrists. They put a crown with thorns on him, and we're just like, "Oh yeah, a crown of thorns." You ever touched a thorn? It's not just a crown of thorns, right? Like that, it digs in. It bleeds. For 3 hours, he carried the sins of the entire world and suffered the wrath of God. Whew. That's intense suffering. For 3 hours, he strained to breathe. Because when you are crucified, the goal is not that you die from just hanging. You actually die from not being able to breathe. Because all of your weight is down, and when you're like this, you can't breathe. So you have to push yourself up, take a breath, and then it comes down. You end up dying of suffocation when you're hanging on a cross. So for 3 hours, he did that. Breathing. Each one more painful than the last because he's got to lift himself up there. And then he gave his life. No one killed Jesus. No one can kill Jesus. At the very end, Jesus says, "I give my spirit." And he let go, which was actually really sweet relief from what was going on. Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, a follower of me, to become like me, you need to understand what comes with it. Here's the good news. Jesus went through that so that we don't have to go through that. Praise God that he was willing to take our place so that we didn't have to suffer like he suffered. But there is still suffering that goes with letting King Jesus be king of our heart. The hardest one, I think, for kids your age is what you face from your peers. I don't know if you know this, but being a follower of Jesus is not considered the coolest thing in the world to do. It's not. And as you go into high school, you go into college, when you say, no, I'm not going to go do that with my group of friends, your friends are going to think something of you. You might have to find new friends. I've met many believers in Jesus who turned their life around, chose what's best for them, and then had to get a whole new group of friends because their friends just said, nope, we want to go have fun. We're going to choose what's good, even though it's not best. Because they didn't want to go through that suffering. I talked about this. There's that temptation thing, right? We still go through that. And it's not easy. We are tempted as followers of Jesus. Because there is a person known as Satan who really doesn't like God. And his job is to try to get us to fail at following Jesus. And so when we're doing things the way that we're supposed to, Satan comes in and he tries to find a weak point and tempt us. There's going to be some suffering in that. Okay? That's part of what comes with King Jesus being in our heart. I think there's also some FOMO. Do you know what that is? FOMO, fear of missing out. If you become a follower of Jesus at a young age, there are things that you're not going to experience. And that's okay. Because most of the people who experience that sort of stuff regret their choices in the end. And the last thing I'm going to point out is he mentioned denying himself. We have what's called flesh within us in the Bible. They call it flesh. I don't mean the actual like physical stuff that goes on, right? It's this physical desire things. And the world says, follow your flesh. Whatever your flesh wants, that's you. Go do it. Yeah. Jesus says, no, your flesh gets you in trouble. You need to follow the Spirit. The Holy Spirit in your life, which means that fleshly desire is going to come and you're going to have to say no to it. And that's hard, especially when the world says, yeah, go for it. That's the real you anyway. No, it's not. The real me is in Jesus, and that's who I want to follow. But that constant fight, it wears on you. It's tiring. Are you depressed? A little bit? No. Some yes, some no. Some of you are like, well, it depends on what they say. If they say yes, then yes. If they say no, then no. Here's the point of the message today. Jesus is the suffering king. Jesus is the suffering king. And the suffering he went through is way more than the suffering that we're going to have to go through as followers of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean that our life is going to be woo all the time after we choose to let Jesus be king of our heart. We're still going to be called to walk on this earth and go through this life. But you know what's coming after that? The best. Because sometimes suffering is exactly what needs to happen for us to get to that best place. And so if you want the best, you say, Lord, I know that there's going to be hard times, but I'm following you. I'm in. I'm absolutely in. Even if it's 50 years from now until I get to experience the best, there will still be some really good stuff on the way. All right? I didn't mean for that to be totally depressing. I actually think it's incredible what Jesus was willing to do for us. I mean, seriously. He left heaven to do that so that we didn't have to. Oh, that's pretty incredible. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to dig into that a little bit more. Why did Jesus go through all of that just for us? It's pretty intense. Praise God he did. Let me pray.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.